folks, to another episode of The Slice of Orange. The Slice of Orange is the podcast that dissects politics in North Orange County. This election season, our team will interview candidates on NOC's ballot, explain propositions and ballot measures, and discuss general election trends. Our goal is to increase civic knowledge in the public and introduce you to ways of getting involved. My name is Arush Naveed, and I am your host for the day. Today, I'm interviewing Leonel Talavera, incumbent FSD trustee for Area 5, who is running again for the seat. Leonel has worked as a senior human relations specialist at Groundswell, formerly known as the OC Human Relations Council. He is endorsed by the Fulton Elementary Teachers and former chief Dan Hughes. Leonel is rerunning for Fulton School District's Area 5. Voters will be choosing between him and Vanessa Estrella, the challenger. Leonel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Arush. Thank you for having me.
Of course, we are very glad to kick off this election season with FSD candidates as well as FDC candidates and incumbents, obviously you being an incumbent. So let's actually start with my question. The first one being, what have you learned serving in the office? And for context, Leonel is running again for this seat. So Leonel, what have you learned of being on the FSD board?
Yeah, so I've learned really amazing things and also complex things on how school districts really operate, the inner workings of a district. It's not just teachers bringing students into a classroom, teaching curriculum, or anything of that sort. There's a lot more things that are happening behind the scenes at the district office with administration, providing support for both our teachers and staff, ways to feed our students breakfast and lunches, how to transport students from their homes to the school site, everything in between that happens during the school day. Ultimately, one of the other things that I'm learning a lot about is also just the infrastructure and our facilities, because, schools tend to be our students' second home, along with the teachers that spend, most of their day at the school site. But and then also after school care or after school programming that's happening at each school site, which is really unique based on the needs of each particular school community.
Awesome. Those are great lessons, especially when you said, the schools being a second home for the kids because they spend so much of their time there, often half of or majority of their day there. So it's really important that those are spaces that feel welcoming and are really educational for the students. And I think those are always priorities that we all share.
Yeah, Rouge. I would also like to really kind of point out a little bit about the budget. So basically, being in office, learning how to budget for the district, balancing a budget, making sure that we're being held accountable for the community and the taxpayers. So I think that's another thing that I've learned is, where monies are being spent, how we're supporting, again, all our staff, our parents, our students in our community. So the financial aspect as well, too, is something that I've learned a whole lot about as well, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a very important part to learn. So you have been in office for a few years now. So if you could just discuss what you consider to be your top three accomplishments while you were in office.
Yeah, so I think one of the main things for myself is really being a community-minded board member, doing a lot of my work out in the community as a community builder, a community organizer, whatever you may call it, having that mindset first more at hand, making sure that, I was always being an advocate for the community, particularly when it came to resources and needs of a lot of our Title I schools with like food pantries. We currently have a hub at one of our schools that provides clothing. So some of those essential needs to be able to live the day-to-day lives. Both like in medical resources, also dental resources have been some of the accomplishments that I feel I've been able to kind of drive home to our communities. Also, definitely the academics component of it too, making sure that we're providing those resources for our students, and then making sure that, you know, our staff is well trained and has opportunities to for professional development in like writing, reading, a lot of those aspects, and in math, especially it being kind of just one of those key fundamental skills that we try to build our students with. And then definitely the community outreach aspect in making sure that the community knows how to access school district wide resources. But and then ultimately also our facilities, since we are, you know, a public entity, the community should know that they have access to our school sites and those resources when it comes to, you know, fields, multi-purpose rooms to host meetings at. A huge advocate in that sense of making sure that, you know, we're here to be a part of the community, just as much as the community is a part of the schools.
Absolutely. I really like the last line that you said, you know, the community is a part of the schools. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why you want to run again. But what do you think kind of encourages you from the work that you've done, from the work that you've seen being done, to run again and to be in this position again for another 4 years? And along with that, you know, if you are to win again, be reelected, what would be your top three priorities when you're in office this time?
Yeah, no, definitely. Thank you, Arush, for that question. I think ultimately for me, to what really encouraged me to run again was I came in at a really challenging and difficult time during COVID in 2020. And it really kind of took 2 years to get to know the inner workings of the district. We were really focusing on protocols and procedures through the COVID pandemic. So I feel the last 2 years is where I've really learned a lot. And I want to continue doing this work because of that. I don't want to say my term was cut short because I was still doing some meaningful work the first 2 years. But I think this is the most exciting and fun aspect of being a trustee at the district, to be able to learn a lot and to kind of continue to learn the inner workings of a district, and then to also provide myself as an asset to continue moving the district forward and all the amazing and innovative ways that they've been pursuing education in our Fullerton community, especially working collaboratively with other nonprofits and then other educational systems as well too, at the high school level, at the community college level, and then even at the university level as well too. And then, so you talked about priorities, right? If I would win again. Yeah, so definitely, I think, again, touching back on the 2 years of COVID, that I felt like we were kind of still transitioning out of that aspect, even though it was in-person learning, but really focusing on that learning loss, those resources that a lot of our students at different grades still need, making sure that we recover that learning loss component, but and then also improving school facilities. I think that's one of the biggest things, bringing our kids back and making sure that they feel like they're at home, that they're in an environment where they want to come to school, they're motivated to come to school, you know, they're excited to learn because, you know, maybe, you know, the home setting's not the best place for them, but we need to create that environment for them at the school setting, making sure that, you know, our plumbing, our electrical is up to par, but and then also making the schools an inviting place for them to learn. And I think the last thing would be making school relatable in the sense of, I think times are changing when we talk about education, and the way students and parents also kind of see education and bringing kids to school. I think the pandemic has created some of that shift, but I think ultimately really focusing on making it relatable for kids to really want to come back and understand and make those connections to continue growing academically but and then also to be, you know, amazing citizens in our city.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing priorities. Nextly, now, you know, I want to get into a few issues that are kind of nationwide trends and things we need to tackle on our school board levels. The first question among those topics would be, what is your opinion on charter schools?
Yeah, I think fortunately for us here in Fullerton, we haven't seen that need for charter schools because we really do provide both parent and student choice with a lot of our programs that we provide. A lot of our programs are really kind of geared, you know, specific to certain populations or certain communities or just people's interests in a sense, right? It's almost like when you think about restaurants, not everyone likes, you know, eating certain type of food. And then maybe when they go to the restaurant, maybe they'll choose it not to be spicy or might not want certain ingredients put in their food. So I think as a school district, we have that same mentality in providing, you know, a wide range of options for our students and our parents. We have multi-age programs. We have DLA programs as well, too, in Spanish and Korean. And that's a dual language academies that we have. And then a lot of our schools focus on the arts as well, too. And arts is a huge, huge asset in our district because it provides students really to be creative, you know, to be thinkers, to work collaboratively with one another, and then to be able to express themselves in the way that they feel they are. And it's a really a good way to also provide communication to their peers as well, too. So we have a wide range of programs at a lot of our school sites, and we provide that choice for parents as well, too.
Absolutely. I've noticed that, too. You know, Fullerton really has a diverse set of choices for parents. You're right about that. And I think it is a good working model, perhaps, for other districts as well to see, you know, the dual language programs that we have and just the variety that exists for students to really develop at their own pace, but also develop in ways that are consistent with both family values as well as, you know, their different learning styles. So I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, there has been a concerning trend in a few different states. On book bans, there are books that are getting banned, whether those be books on written by diverse writers, written about diverse people, diverse voices. You know, that is a concerning trend that has started in the United States, and our libraries and our schools are having to deal with it. So what would you say your stance is on book bans?
Yeah, I think fortunate for us, I think we're really supportive of the inclusivity of both our community, our teachers, our parents, and our students. We believe firsthand that students should be able to feel welcome, a sense of belonging, and also be able to reflect and relate to instructional material that's being provided at our school district. So I wholeheartedly support providing those resources for our students, making sure that they can see themselves in both the literature, and then also in the curriculum that we provide here at FSD.
Understood. Thank you. Keeping with kind of that theme, you know, Fullerton has different areas that have different needs, right? You have South Fullerton versus other parts of Fullerton, East Fullerton. They all have their different needs. And you have students, you know, who are coming from low-income households, students who are coming with special needs, students who are struggling with the impact of COVID-19 and perhaps are set back a few years in their educational journey. And I mean, this is a common trend that we're seeing, students who are struggling with mental health because of the isolation we've gone through on top of all the other issues that they can possibly face. So how do you intend to support students who are coming from all of these different backgrounds and have all of these different needs as the representative? And, you know, what kind of ideas do you have for tackling some of these issues head on?
Yeah, thank you for kind of bringing to light some of these challenges. I think this is one of the components that I think a lot, I think the community at large tends to kind of miss, I don't want to say overshadow, but I guess that could be a term we could use. I don't know if I want to use that yet. but definitely understand the disparities that are within our city. Because I did a lot of work in South Fullerton, particularly in the Woodcrest and the Richmond communities, I totally understand. And I live in this area. So I see it day in and day out, some of these disparities that you're mentioning with our lower socioeconomic families. And I think one of the things that we at the district do very, very well is provide them those resources, like I had mentioned earlier, with the food pantries, our communities in school program that just launched this past year. A huge advocate and supporter for that, knowing that it was going to make a huge difference in the community. And we're hoping that that there's an upward trajectory in how we're providing and supporting our families that way with those resources. But and then I think academically, making sure that we have those intervention resources as well too, making sure that we're providing our RTI specialists, both in math and reading, those opportunities for parents to take advantage of, but and then also the students. I think administration at the school site level do a really good job of identifying the students that need some of that extra support. And then we've hired some really amazing staff across the district, to be honest, when it comes to our intervention support. But and then also our after-school programs. I think this is one of the key things that maybe not a lot of the community also understands, just because they may feel like it's just a resource for our working class families that can pick up their students, right? Either at 2:30 or 3 o'clock when school gets out. And they might think that this is just a childcare, but our Encore program has been really instrumental post-COVID. It was launched with some of the COVID relief funds. And it's been really instrumental in the school site really selecting what resources really fit and support their school site. So it's not just after school care, waiting for the parents to get home from work, but they're also adding an academic component to it. So they're working with our intervention specialists, our RTI specialists, that do this work during the day, and they're providing those same supports after school as well too. So like where my son goes, Miss Robbins, a little shout out to Miss Robinson, a little shout out to Miss Robinson there. She's one of the specialists at Pack Drive and has been doing some amazing things with the students during the school day, but now they're transitioning to the Encore program and providing some of those resources to students that need, extra support after school as well too. Let alone all the fun activities that the school sites provide during Encore, basketball, soccer, a STEM component, coding, robotics, even arts as well too. So one of those huge things that the school sites are really doing an amazing job with.
Yeah, thank you for tackling that question. I know it was a big question, right? Because we're dealing with so many different needs. So the solution can't just be one size fits all. You have to have a solution. You have to have multiple solutions, really, tackling each need individually. So I appreciate you highlighting all those different resources. Now I want to move a little bit to communications and community connections, right? Because the race that you're specifically running for and have run and won before, it's a low information race. Right? School district races are not necessarily races that people are very invested in unless their parents themselves and are invested in the schools. So many voters may not even know that this race exists until they get to the end of the ballot. So how have you done this before, and how are you doing it now? How are you getting the word out that you're running for this, and how are you connecting with your local community, not just with the parents most involved, but, you know, other parents, other students, other voters in the area. So you can communicate with them well, but also kind of reconnect, as you said, from the COVID era where we lost all of our connections and where we've lost a lot of that communication. How do you build that up again?
Yeah. So honestly, I think this is kind of one of the key strengths that I provide, both at the school board level, is my outreach and engagement skill set. And I think it's really unique because it's kind of a little bit of what we talked about before. There's no one size fits all. There's no like, oh, this is the only way to get the word out or to communicate with, you know, for say constituents or parents or voters. You do got to meet them where they're at. But things are shifting all the time, so it's not, it's not always the same way in connecting with them. Ultimately, it's building trust and relationships, right? So it could start at the school site level, right, with the parents and the students, and even some of our teachers that live here locally. You know, when you're active at the school site level, like we had talked about earlier. You know, the school's part of the community and the community's part of the school. So you leverage those assets. You kind of always hear those hard to reach communities. And it's not that they're hard to reach. It's we're not reaching them the way that we should be reaching them. So I think building trust and relationships is one of the major key components. But and then you also got to meet them where they're at. You got to understand where they're meeting, where they're at, where they're gathering. You know, are they going to the local parks? Are they going to local businesses? Are they hosting, community gatherings or events that you might not, be aware of? Is it the senior population? So there's different ways and aspects, and you kind of try to map those out. So I would call this asset mapping. In my profession. So you would asset map and figure out who you're already reaching, and then who are you not reaching, and where can you meet them at? So you got to go to them. And I think I do a very good job of this because I live in the community. I used to work and live in South Fullerton. And this is kind of what drove my passion is, I can meet folks where they're at, being engaged and involved, both at city events, at school events, and then also inviting them out to what we're doing at school sites as well too. So to me, this is not very difficult to do. I just think understanding how the dynamics are changing throughout the years and understanding that and making sure that we have a good game plan to be able to reach to them. Ultimately, social media has played a huge factor in reaching maybe a certain demographics or population. So that's a good way. A big plug maybe for my social media, which is going very, very strong right now. And then ultimately just, meeting people where they're at, I think. And then building that trust and that relationship, which I think I do a very good job of.
Right. And as you were saying that, I actually looked up your social media, and it is Leonel Talavera _FSD _ school board for anybody who is wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out.
Yes, definitely check it out. And also, I assume that is a space where people can communicate with you should they need to.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I mean, working pretty much 8 years, close to 9 years prior to coming on the school board. Everyone has my number. I kind of jokingly tell people, you have to call me twice. The first time is just letting me know that you're calling. The second time is to remind me that I need to call you back. But I think just, again, like just meeting folks where they're at, attending some of those events, and then just also sharing information as best as possible with those resources. Because again, at the school district level, it's not just meant for students as far as the resources, again, with our community schools program, which is at Nicholas, by the way. Any community member can come and benefit from the resources that we're providing. Like I mentioned, medical, dental, even pharmaceutical as well too. It's just one of those grants that we were able to receive from the Department of Education at the state level.
Right. So thank you for sharing that. And yeah, definitely listeners should keep in mind to call you twice. Now, I want to get to a fun question that we always ask all the people that we interview, because we really want to get to know you on your reading level, really. So can you give our listeners a book recommendation? You know, what have you been enjoying? Or what is, kind of your all-time favorite book?
All right. So this question is very, very interesting. You might be surprised by my answer, but I actually do not like reading books. I have a slight dyslexia, which makes it really challenging for me to focus on reading something long-term. And I think that was one of the things kind of growing up. You know, school was really hard for me. It was really challenging. So I instead read a lot of articles, short articles that catch my interest and are aligned with my passions. The internet has always been a huge resource for me as far as like learning and reading, but also attending webinars on topics, again, that are really near and dear to my heart, but and then also maybe that are associated to either the workout that I'm doing or just to learn from other individuals that have maybe longer, how do I say? So that have lengthier backgrounds in the topic or experience to share. I don't like to call people experts because I try not to use the word expert because I am a lifelong learner and just growing my knowledge base on any topic. So I don't ever feel like I'm an expert in a certain topic, but I do a lot of research and read a lot. I just don't read books, believe it or not. So maybe the listeners are going to be a little disappointed to hear. My book recommendation is really no book recommendation, unfortunately.
You know, that is actually very interesting, you sharing that, because, then I want to ask you, what are some of your most favorite, outlets where you read articles from, are these news articles, are these magazine articles, all of the above, In that sense, what would you recommend to people?
Yeah, so there's one in particular, now you're putting me on the spot. They email me all the time for webinars, and I'm blanking out on the name, but I will find it.
And, while you're looking for that, this just reminds me because, shorter articles, webinars, these are all other ways of learning. So it doesn't have to be just a long form book.
Yes. Yes.
That promotes learning. And articles can be such a great way to kind of stay on top of what the news is, what new technological innovations there are. And there can be so many fun articles too. And obviously, us being in the news business, or me being in the news business, there's also the news articles that I would really encourage that people read.
So I found it. It's Changing Lab Solutions is my go-to. I'm subscribed to their newsletter. So that's kind of my go-to. Also through CSBA, the California School Board Association also puts out some articles. So that if the article piques my interest in any which way or fashion, I go ahead and I read a lot of that as well too. But the Changing Lab Solutions for those folks that are doing community impact work out there, collective impact stuff, feel free to check them out.
Yeah, I'm checking them out as you speak right now. So changelabsolutions.org.
Changelabsolutions.org, correct.
So that actually brings us to the very last question of the day. Is there anything else that I haven't mentioned in my questions yet that you would want to talk about to our listeners?
So my passion for school board really kind of began in doing my community work with Habitat for Humanity in 2014, where I really saw the benefits and the passion that the community had for education. Again, a lot of older moms that I was engaging with and had kids at our schools. And a lot of the focus and a lot of the work was based around improving their child's education, knowing that either that's the way out of poverty, that's the way to get them to higher education, you know, not necessarily university, you know, a community college or a trade, just to learn and, you know, build that foundation for them, for them to be able to succeed. So that really kind of drove me to be in this position. They taught me that, you know, it's to be part of the solution, you have to be able to speak up for myself. And as a parent of two children, I have one in high school and then one still at the elementary level. So it really resonated and for me to be able to be a representative of the community in the purest fashion. I have no special interests. I'm here to serve the community as best as I can with my skills, my assets, and my talents, and, you know, to do the best job in being the community advocate that South Fullerton deserves is pretty much.
Thank you so much for that, Lionel. It has been very nice to be able to talk to you and get to know you more beyond just, you know, the board meetings and, you know, the coverage that kind of comes out of that. So I think the listeners will also appreciate getting a deeper dive into your thoughts about our school boards and also, you know, what plans you have if you are to be reelected. So thank you so much again for being on the podcast today. And I hope we stay connected both through the podcast as well as some of the other journalism work that I do.
Appreciate it, Aruj, for having me. It's been a pleasure and just excited to continue serving.
Absolutely. So that was the Slice of Orange NOC's interview with Lionel Talavera. For more episodes, please check out the Slice of Orange on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We are also on Facebook and Instagram, so be sure to follow us there. All the links will be available in the show notes. Thank you and have a great day, everyone.